Wednesday prayer meeting edition of Head On. But, and I found myself back in the journalist. We talked about the mistreatment, and that's even a weak word for it, of Josh Wolf out in San Francisco. So that's journalism too. Now this.
This is the Quality News Network. Today, North Korea publicly agreed to disarm its nuclear weaponry program. Next week, diplomats from the U.S. and North Korea will meet to discuss the next step. Talks will revolve around the unfreezing of funds meant to alleviate the country's grinding poverty. In Iraq, a fierce gun battle is waging south of Baghdad between insurgents and Iraqi security forces. 8 people have been killed so far, 11 wounded. In Baghdad, a minibus carrying municipal officials hit a roadside bomb today. 1 official was killed. 4 more were wounded. Mechanical problems brought down a U.S. Army helicopter today near Kirkuk. The 2 pilots aboard were wounded. The U.S. military reports a Marine was killed yesterday by a small arms fire in the Anbar province. That brings the death toll in February for American forces to 79. The Washington Post reports today the Army's Surgeon General and other top officials have known for years of the poor living conditions injured U.S. veterans now face at the Walter Reed Army Medical Center. Congress has called for hearings into the filthy, rat-infested dormitories American troops wounded in Iraq and Afghanistan are forced to inhabit. In Bosnia-Herzegovina, most of the remaining British NATO troops will be withdrawn as part of a larger reduction of European forces from 6,000 to 2,500. The UK defense minister says Bosnia's improved security situation dictates the move. In Miami, a federal judge has ruled terrorist suspect Jose Padilla is sane enough to stand trial. Defense psychologists testified more than 3 years in solitary confinement in a Navy brig without legal assistance gave Padilla a severe case of post-traumatic stress. Padilla's trial is scheduled for mid-April. In Brussels, the head of the UN Human Rights Agency is criticizing the treatment of Guantanamo Bay prisoners being held for years without charge, access to attorneys, or the right of habeas corpus. The Pentagon says military tribunals will begin in August for 60 to 80 prisoners. As expected, Senator John McCain has officially declared he will run for president. The Republican Arizona senator made the announcement last night in an appearance on the David Letterman Show. Pulitzer Prize-winning author and Kennedy political insider Arthur Schlesinger Jr. has died of a heart attack. He was 89.
Most people would rather have a root canal than go to a dealer to buy a car. But you can turn dread into joy when you learn how to play the car buying game. Read the book, Right Car, Right Price, and you'll discover how the game is played and how you can win every time. Whether you're buying a car or a truck, new or used, Right Car, Right Price explains how to find and buy the vehicle best suited to your individual transportation needs. Auto Week called Right Car, Right Price the right stuff. So take the hassle out of car buying. Read Right Car, Right Price, and every time you get into your new car, you'll know you've got a great deal. Go online to rightcarrightprice.com to order your copy today. It only takes an hour to read Right Car, Right Price, and it just costs $10. We even pay the postage. So go to rightcarrightprice.com right now. It'll be one of the best decisions you ever make.
The Coast Guard is trying to determine the environmental damage brought by yesterday's toxic spill in the Ohio River. A barge hit an underwater dam, dumping 8,000 gallons of highly toxic solvent into the waters. Hundreds of college students thought to be illegally sharing music online are being offered a chance to settle out of court. If the students do not respond to letters being sent out this week, they will be sued for copyright infringement. Ford Motors told the Securities and Exchange Commission its restructuring plan would cost $11.18 billion, the majority of it needed to care for laid-off workers. The company also revealed it had used almost all that it has as collateral for a $23.5 billion loan to pay for restructuring moves. Once again, Japanese automakers' top consumer reports list for reliability, safety, and value. Toyota and Honda did particularly well in the magazine's tests. The world's largest reinsurance group, Swiss Re, today posted annual net profits of $3.80 billion. That's an increase of nearly 100% from 2005. European and U.S. stocks have rebounded from Tuesday's stunning downward spiral. The Asian stock market remains down for the third day. Light sweet crude trading at $61.63 a barrel. You can find more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Annabelle Lund.
Live from Chicago, the city with many names, it's the Cup of Joe Radio Show. 2 hours of truth and fury representing the fighting spirit of the American worker. And now, through the miracle of screaming audio, here's the guy your bosses hate, the Windy City's biggest windbag, your host, Joe Vecchio.
All right, come on, everybody. Wake up. Wake the hell up. Get out of bed. Move it, move it, move it. Come on, move it. 1, 2, 1, 2. Come on. Get out. We got work to do today for you people out there on the West Coast at 7 o'clock. What are you doing still sleeping? Why, in my day, we used to get up at 3 a.m. for no good reason. And if you're out there in the East Coast, it's 10 o'clock. And you've probably already up, started going to work, and you're probably already at work. And if you're at work, and if you're listening to this on your computer, and you're slacking off for an hour so you can listen to my show, good for you! Slack off, because I'm telling you something, ladies and gentlemen, your employers are stealing from you. Your boss is a crook. Well, not always, but for the most part, your boss is a crook, ladies and gentlemen, and I want you to steal back everything you can possibly do. Conditions for the working people in this country are getting worse and worse and worse. I'm not saying that it's completely bad. It's not as bad as it was before the New Deal, before the progressive issues that forced labor rights stuff to the forefront, you know, the days of child labor, no minimum wage, blah, blah, blah. But we're getting there. We're getting there, and I want us to stop it. And what I eventually want is to have some form of labor laws that go throughout the entire world. Because, ladies and gentlemen, the only way we can protect ourselves is by standing together. And we can't stand together if workers in one part of the country are willing to work for 25 cents an hour and workers in another part of the world, not country, or are willing to work, required to have more money per hour. Now, how do you think all the manufacturing jobs are moving to Mexico? It's not because they can get better production values or because that's where they want to sell their products. No, that's because that's where the cheapest labor market goes. And I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, that the day is going to come, and I hope it never comes, but I really am afraid that the day is going to come when technology is going to make low-skilled workers irrelevant, unnecessary, and then they're just going to kill us off. You think I'm kidding? You think I'm not serious about that? You just wait. Any group of people that's willing to go to war in a place like Iraq, for whatever reason, and not even give a damn about the amount of lives lost, is perfectly capable of killing their own people. Because when you come right down to it, ladies and gentlemen, we're all our own people. I was talking with the lovely Agnes Kincaid, who was once again producing the show this morning, dealing with a sick child, and then still getting up here to do the show, which is just remarkable. Me, I'm such a lazy bastard, I can't imagine having to go through all that. But I was talking with her about the absolutely horrid state of American healthcare. And I told her, and she was saying, don't they understand that people are just dying? And I said, well, I think, Agnes, I think that's kind of the point. A few years ago, I don't know when it started, but they started calling, or what was the word for it? See, it's been so long since we used it, but they started calling you human resources now. And that's exactly what you are. You're a resource. You are to be used up and thrown away. And the bean counters of the world, that the most hateful people in the world, ladies and gentlemen, are bean counters. Not because they don't serve an important function, they do, but because when you get to the point that that's your entire philosophy, then there's something seriously wrong. And the bean counters of the world, they don't consider that what they're counting is human beings, if you know what I'm saying. That's a stupid joke, but I don't care. Work till you die. You give these people half the chance, they'll take away the minimum wage, and if you think you're not getting paid enough now, guess what? They'll take away overtime laws. They're already doing it for a lot of workers. They're declaring a lot of things, positions to be management when they're absolutely not management. Anybody who apparently, they feel like anybody who tells anybody, gives somebody instruction on anything or helps out anybody on anything is a manager and therefore not entitled to union protection and not entitled to overtime laws. They can be put on salary. And ladies and gentlemen, if you out there, if you've ever worked salary, you know what it means. It means they're going to work your ass off as much as they possibly can. I remember, in the long run, it worked out for me because of the field I was in. When I was manager of a one-hour photo lab, when I first started, I had no employees. I was the only person, and it was during Christmas season, so I had to run the entire shop by myself. And I was on salary. I was making $23,500 a year, and I was basically working maybe 70, 80 hours a week, and still getting paid the same money. I didn't mind so much at the time. It was the first time that I had been a manager, and I really took to it. I organized everything the way I wanted it to be. But I was working a lot of hours, and I wasn't getting any days off because we were open 7 days a week. Finally, I had to close down the store one Sunday, and I wrote it, said, "The store is being closed so that the manager can preserve his sanity." I literally put the sign out there like that. And finally, I got some people hired. I got three people hired, and they were very good people. And I wound up working like 20 hours a week, being there every day still, but only being there when it was needed for me to be there, just to make sure all the paperwork was done and the stuff around the shop needed to get taken care of. And, running my shifts as well. I ran my shifts. And so, it worked out better for me. But that was an unusual situation. And you have a lot of companies where once you're put on salary, that's it. You're their slave, but you're their slave, pal. They will work you and work you and work you until you die. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you right now, if they're ever given the opportunity, they will turn you into slaves. Because they're not only stealing from you, but they want to steal your life from you. They're not only stealing your money, they want to steal your life from you. And if the time ever comes, God help us, where we no longer become necessary because of technology, I guarantee you they're going to find ways to kill us all off. And I believe, for some people anyway, that might be what's going on in the medical industry. Things are so bad, it's easier for you to die than it is for them to treat you, because the bean counters of the world aren't getting are making sure that the people up on top get their money. Because that's all they care about, ladies and gentlemen. I've said it time and time again to the Bush administration, to the Republican leadership, to their financial backers. You are not human. Do you understand me saying that? You are not human. And therefore, they are justified in doing anything they want to you. That's how they see it. And if you don't think they see it, you got a lot of waking up to do. And I get sick of it. I get sick of seeing it every day. I get sick of seeing the insane decisions that go on. Bush threatening to veto the, and I talked about this yesterday, he's threatening to veto the Terrorism Act, the Security Act, because there's a provision to allow baggage handlers to unionize. This is how much they hate unions. This is how much they hate people standing up for each other to earn a decent wage, to make a better life for themselves, because they don't want you to have a better life for yourself, ladies and gentlemen. They want you to work for them. And all this democracy stuff, you see it in everything the Republicans do. They hate the idea of democracy. They hate the idea of self-rule. They are the motor of the world. And they want you to either be them or destroy them. Listen, if you want to talk more about this, give me a call, 1-877-443-2366, 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. And, of course, you can always email me, joe@cupjoe.com, if you've got any news, if you've got any stories you want me to talk about. And, of course, you can look at my website, cupojoe.blogspot.com. C-U-P-O-J-O-E. In the meantime, we got a Beatles break coming up. We'll be back with more on the Cup of Joe Radio Show here on the Head On Radio Network.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competency and training. UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. It's their job to provide manpower. They build partnerships based on respect and trust. They provide skilled, responsible millwrights and carpenters to meet the challenge of any project because they believe and what they're doing and are so very committed to getting each and every job done right. They include a clause in your contract that eliminates work slowdown and jurisdictional disputes because they believe that, as professionals, they can discuss and solve any problem while keeping your project on target on time. We'd like to take this opportunity to thank the men and women of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights for building the American dream and saving the American dream. Thank you.
Recently on the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network.
If you have tuned into this program by mistake right now, and you are a Republican, a right-wing Republican specifically, before this program is over, I do want to warn you, you're going to think that I'm the devil. You're going to think I've got horns and a red cape because I hate the Bush administration and everything they stand for. So be warned right away, okay? You're all warned right now that that's where we're coming from today.
Don't miss Guy James, weekdays, 3 to 5 Eastern Time, on the Head On Radio Network.
Today, all Americans are feeling the pinch of high energy prices. And this winter, the cost of heating your home could account for nearly half of your energy bill. I'm Energy Secretary Sam Bodman, with steps you can take to save money and make your home more energy efficient. First, give your home furnace or heat pump a checkup to ensure it's running as efficiently as possible. Proper insulation in attic, ceilings, floors, crawl spaces, and exterior and basement walls can save 30% on your home energy bill. And insulate the heating ducts, even in unheated areas of your house. Finally, installing a programmable thermostat will ensure you don't pay for energy you aren't using. Program the thermostat down to 65 degrees for 8 hours a day to reduce your heating bill by up to 10%. You have the power to make a difference. You can reduce your home energy bills and help our nation reduce its energy use.
For more energy efficiency tips, please visit our website at www.doe.gov or call toll-free 1-877-337-3463. This powerful savings message is provided by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Alliance to Save Energy.
This is The Horn, the Head On Radio Network.
Okay, and we're back here on the Cup of Joe Radio Show. Once again, I'm your not-so-humble host, Joe Vecchio, voice of the working man's thinking man, voice of those who have been unvoiced by the anti-worker policies of the Bush administration and its corporate allies. Once again, the number to call in, 1-877-443-2366, 1-877-4- Head On, and where is it? It's a beautiful day in Chicago again. Temperature's up to like 30 degrees, and a lot of people are like, 30 degrees, that's freezing. Well, you know, for Chicago. And actually, in the summer, it gets very, very hot here. We do get the worst of both worlds in that sense. When I got here in August last year, it was like 100 degrees. And I don't think, I was in Atlanta for 12 years, I don't think it ever hit 100, but it was 100 degrees and everybody ran into the lake. The big surge. The level rose about 2 feet. It was remarkable. But, you know, I mentioned yesterday that we had elections here in Chicago, and Mayor Daley won a sixth term, I believe it was. And what I didn't mention, and I think I didn't mention, is that the polling place where if I was able to vote, because unfortunately I didn't, I haven't moved, been here long enough, I didn't get a chance to register in time for this election. I'll be ready for 2008, of course. But the polling place is the house next door. I've never heard of a polling place being in a house before. But apparently there are maybe about a dozen or so places like that here in Chicago where the polling places are not in schools or libraries. And one guy I was talking to when I went down to my day job earlier this week, he was saying that there's an old restaurant that they use as a polling place, that they used it there when the place was unoccupied as a polling place. And then when the restaurant came in, everybody liked it so much that they kept it there. So on voting days, half the restaurant would be polling machines, and the other half would be the restaurant, which is really kind of interesting. And you know, Chicago, I asked the guy, and he says they have the voting machines, but the electric voting machines, but you don't have to use them, which I'm glad for. As far as I'm concerned, we ought to take all those damn voting machines and toss them in the dumpster. I think my good friend Phyllis Huster from CountPaperPallets.com, I think she had the perfect solution. Sue the hell out of Diebold. Just sue him. Or, in my case, just disband the money and take all this and use that money to train poll workers and to set up an efficient counting system. Ladies and gentlemen, if you believe in the idea of self-rule, if you believe in the idea of a democracy, whether we're a democratic republic or a pure democracy, and we are a democratic republic, to get all the nitpickers out there, because I hate it when people do that to me. You know, we're a Republican, not a... Shut up! Idiot. At any rate, if you believe in that idea, and if you believe that the vote is the way we choose to express that idea, that we have the right to rule ourselves, that we choose people to write the laws and to enforce the laws, then you have to believe that the best method is the most accurate method and not the fastest. And even so, you can do it very quickly still, even in a nation of 300 million people. And it's really very simple. I've laid out the points very clearly in my blog and in other places. Look, you have the paper ballot is the official ballot of record. This is what's counted. You don't count the votes on the damn machine first and then use the paper ballots as a backup. No. You have the paper ballots, and that's your official ballot of record. And those ballots have to be hand-printed, handwritten. You know what I mean. You have to cast your ballot on that. They have to be counted in public. Wait a minute, let me see if I get it right. Count it by hand. Get it on paper. Count it by hand. Keep it in the public eye. That's it. The paper ballot, thank you. The paper ballot is the official ballot of record. It has to be counted by hand at the precinct where it was cast in full public view. And there has to be a complete and total chain of custody for the ballots throughout the entire process. In other words, you go there and you count it in the precincts. And each precinct, you're only, you know, at best you're only going to get a few thousand votes. So it's not going to take that long to count. And I think, you know, along with that, we ought to do some other things. We ought to make Election Day a holiday. I mean, I can't understand why it's not a holiday, because this is an expression of what we believe in our democracy. I think maybe we ought to use that week before as the only week where you can do any kind of talking, official talking in the news about campaigning. I don't know. There's other ways of dealing with it. We need to change the primary system. Instead of having all these primaries on one day, because what about having multiple primaries on a single day do it? It favors the candidate with the most money. And ladies and gentlemen, money is the root of all of our problems right now. Too many people want too much of it without having earned it. It's corrupted the entire system. And we don't have a decent system of separating what is money and what is for profit and what is not for money and what is not for profit. That's why we're having problems with the hospitals. That's why we're having problems with our politicians. That's why we're having problems with our economy. That's why the stock market could be up to some ungodly number. And yet, people on the ground, the people doing the actual work, don't see nothing. I was going to say a bad word there. I stopped myself. I'm a good boy. Ladies and gentlemen, I am not a religious person, but there is one thing that the Bible says is absolutely true, and that is love of money is the root of all evil. Not money. Love of money is the root of all evil. Because it's the love of money that gets you into trouble. It's the love of money that makes you do something that you wouldn't necessarily do. And money and power, because they're both one and the same. In a society that's based primarily on capitalism, you have, you know, if you have one, you have the other. And if you have money, you can choose not to use power, but you still have power. People will always come after you because you've got it, and now they want it. I've got nothing, ladies and gentlemen. I've got nothing. I've got $10 to my name right now, and I still get people trying to get me to buy Viagra. By the way, if anybody wants Viagra, I get about a dozen emails a day telling how to get it cheap. Viagra and Cialis and whatever will give you a nice big old hard-on. Because I guess while you got a big old hard-on, you can't think about anything else. God knows I've had that happen before. I certainly couldn't think of anything else when I was with my wife, that's for sure. When it came down to that. But when I talked about it in the first segment, ladies and gentlemen, the fact that, you know, how people get the attitude that you're not human is because they look at you as in terms of what you're worth to them, what your monetary value is in society. And when you come right down to it, a lot of us are not worth very much. What is my value to society from a monetary point of view? Not very much. I mean, if I were to up and die, like right now, have a heart attack and die, the economy wouldn't be affected. It wouldn't mean anything. It would mean something to Agnes, who would have to cover for me for the next half hour. It would mean something to my family, who would be pissed off because now I'd never pay back all the money I owe them. It would mean something to my friends. But economically speaking, it doesn't mean a whole hell of a lot. And it's the same with you, ladies and gentlemen. And I want you to understand that. The Limbaughs and the Bortzes and the Hannitys of the world, they try to sit there and talk to you about rugged individualism and how you should, you know, make your own way. And that's a bunch of crap, ladies and gentlemen. What they want to do is separate you and keep you apart so that they can pick you off one by one. Because that's what they want. Because there's other people who will take your job. You've been there before. I don't have to tell you this, ladies and gentlemen. I'm just, you know, George Carlin talked about comedy is just about, for him, it's just about reminding you of stuff. Because you already knew about it, you just forgot to laugh at it. This is my job here to remind you of stuff that you already know about. And to just bring it out in the open. And I'm telling you right now, you know and I know that you're being ripped off. You're being ripped off by big corporations. You're being ripped off by a government that's run by big corporations. You're being ripped off by your employers. And unless you become like them, a player, then you're going to suffer. You're going to lose control over your life. And that's the way they want it, because the people up on top, they're control freaks. And they're gluttons. Doesn't matter how many millions of dollars they have. We just made $300 million. Well, why didn't you make $600 million? Never satisfied. Never enough. They're killing tens of thousands of people in the Middle East. They've killed probably hundreds of thousands, maybe more than that. And they don't care. Because they're not human. And now we're talking about bombing Iran. We don't have a reason to. Iran's not a serious threat to us. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you right now, the only thing that's going to stop them from doing it is if the military people absolutely refuse to carry out the orders. And we've heard rumors about, you know, generals, you know, saying they'll resign if they do. Other generals will step up in their place. And, you know, that's really all the generals can do is resign. But unless those new generals refuse, then it's going to happen. The Congress isn't going to stop them. You've heard them talk. We'll just ignore them. If you're as upset about this as I am, give me a call. 1-877-443-2366. 1-877-4. Head on. We're halfway through the show here. And I see that Zach has taken over for Agnes, which is cool. Zach is a cool guy. We'll be back in a few minutes on the Cup of Joe Radio Show here in the Head On Radio Network.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical, you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Claude, Wally, and Dookie are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. Your one-stop shop for all things progressive. Wednesday night prayer meeting on Head On with Bob Kincaid opens up a whole new realm of spirituality. Touch others. Reach out and touch faith. Join Brother Bob every Wednesday night for prayer meeting services here in the Tabernacle of Common Sense. Only on the Head On Radio Network and chat at headonradionetwork.com.
Obviously need to address the issue of the Saddam Hussein execution. Have seen the video that was taken on a cell phone, or have read about the circumstances surrounding the execution. It's pretty evident that the absolutely worst thing that could have happened with the carrying out of the sentence after the long trial of Saddam Hussein happened. And if we had sat down and made a list and said, all right, here's a list of six or seven different things that could happen, what would be the very, very worst thing that could happen, not only for us, for the United States, but for the world and for the Iraqis themselves? And it seems to me that if not first, then definitely second would have been what indeed did happen.
The Dr. Bill O'Brien Show, Tuesday to Thursday, noon to 2 Eastern, here on the Head On Radio Network.
Hey, have you got a minute?
Huh?
I'm going to say a word. You tell me what comes to mind. Are you ready?
Okay.
Tchaikovsky.
Gesundheit. Okay, what's the word?
No, see, that is the word. What does Tchaikovsky make you think of?
I don't know. Allergy season?
Hey there, how you doing?
What's up?
Who's Martha Graham?
She invented the graham cracker.
No kidding.
Yeah, before her there was only soda crackers.
Hard to imagine. Hey, young lady.
Yeah?
Does the name Man Ray mean anything to you?
Duh. The man ray is a kind of poisonous jellyfish, and it lives in the Gulf of Mexico.
Aha.
It's very deadly.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Tchaikovsky's music, Martha Graham's dance, and Man Ray's photography. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
This is The Horn, the Head On Radio Network.
Okay, and we're back here in the Cup of Joe Radio Show. Once again, I'm your not-so-humble host, Joe Vecchio, voice of whatever, whatever, blah, 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 blah. You do that all the time, and you get used to doing it all the time, but you know what? It's like, okay, you know who I am, damn it. Unless you're coming a half an hour late, which means you're only slacking off for half an hour of work, and that way I'm mad at you. If you're not slacking off for the whole hour of my show, damn it, you're not doing your job. Because that's why I'm here. I'm here to help you slack off. I have a very strong philosophy about work, ladies and gentlemen, and one of my philosophies, well, when I get into work, I am very concerned about my work, what I do, when I do it. I get very caught up in it, and I get very involved, and I always try to find a better way of doing it so I can be more productive with less work. Some bosses don't like that. Some bosses, you know, you got to be, you know, you have to be active every second you're on the job. And it doesn't matter to them that you work very hard to get to a position where you can finish your work and then take a breather for a little while. No, they don't want to see that. They're never satisfied. And I, for one, have never learned, and one of the reasons why I have trouble work, I, for one, have never learned to pace myself so that I can take care of things in a set amount of time. I tell my bosses, look, I only know one speed, and that's Joe's speed. And sometimes Joe's speed is too slow, and sometimes it's too fast. That's just the way it is. And, of course, they don't like that. They don't like to hear any of that. But if you're listening, there's several ways you can listen, of course, on your home computer, on your laptop, if you have audio capability, and you should. They have these new things out where if you have Wi-Fi, it's like a little radio, and it will actually pick up streaming audio and play it as on a radio. And I'm hoping we get more of these in the workplace because, ladies and gentlemen, I need to be on in the workplaces more often because, you know, quite frankly, you know, the reason why the Hannitys and the Rushes and all those people, the reason why they were successful in bringing their message across is because that they were beamed into everybody's workplace day in and day out and into their cars. And, ladies and gentlemen, the people who listen to those shows need to listen to my show. Because unlike them, I'm going to tell them the truth. Because unlike them, I don't have anybody paying me millions of dollars to put out a message. Unlike them, when I say something on my show, ladies and gentlemen, I mean it. Because a lot of times these guys just say stuff just to get your goat, just to get people going. Now, maybe you can argue that my show isn't as entertaining because of that. Because I do avoid conflicts. Because I try not to be too controversial. I try not to say things that'll seriously get me in trouble. Because, ladies and gentlemen, you understand, for a Republican and a conservative on the radio, you can say anything you want. You can threaten to kill the Speaker of the House, and you'd be just fine. And, in fact, your sponsors will defend you and keep you on the air. Well, guys like me, you got to watch it. But as I'm fond of saying, ladies and gentlemen, I am so pissed off about all the stuff that's going on. I got a bat with so many names on it, I had to get another bat. Okay? When pitchforks and torches time comes around, I am ready. And why do I have a bat instead of a gun? Because the sound of a skull being cracked by a bat has such a nice, satisfying sound. And I'll tell you that the awful secret, the horrible truth, ladies and gentlemen, if it comes down to that sort of fight, when it gets down to just people going in the streets, I won't last about 5 minutes. Because I am a little wussy boy. I am not kidding you. I'll get out there. I talked up on you. Yeah, yeah, give me my bat. Yeah. But I'll get out there and it's like, oh, yeah, kapoor! Right in the face. I'll get blown away. But you know what? I'm going to do my damnedest to take a few people out before I go. And I think that the fact that we haven't taken to the streets, I think the fact that we haven't started walking off our jobs en masse, and I think the fact that we haven't gone out there and started throwing tomatoes at young Republicans and college Republicans who scream bloody murder about we love war, but don't have the courage of their convictions to go out and fight, I think that's saying something about where we've gotten as a nation, that we won't take these actions. I was talking in the last segment about how, whether we like it or not, and it's a continuing pattern of how the people who are our leaders, our so-called leaders, don't give a damn about us because, you know, what they don't understand or what they don't want to understand, what they don't care about, is that they are stewards of the law. They are not the law themselves, but they don't see it that way. The president says, well, I'm the commander-in-chief of the military, but, you know, it doesn't matter to him that the Constitution says that only Congress can declare war. Now, they're building up for this attack in Iran, however you want to pronounce it. And, you know, it's going to happen unless, like I said, the military people just say, we're not following these orders. These are illegal orders. And they go against everything this military is supposed to be for, which is defending this country, which I realize it hasn't always been that way. And we're just not going to do it. I think that's the only way it's going to happen. I want to read to you something I found on JuanCole.com. That's JuanCole.com. Juan Cole, professor of history at the University of Michigan. Very smart guy. I had him on my show when it was pre-recorded some years back. And he was talking, he had a thing about talking about Hans Blix, who was the former United Nations weapons inspector who was in Iraq trying to find evidence of WMDs, which of course he did not find, and which of course he was kicked out by the Bush administration, despite the lies that the Bush administration and the right-wing propaganda machine would have you know. It was the Bush people that kicked the UN inspectors out, not Saddam Hussein. But apparently Mr. Blix has spoken out against the negotiating tactics that they're using with Iran. To quote the site, he points out that Washington's insistence that Iran capitulate to all of Bush's demands before negotiations even begin is humiliating. He also reveals that the Iranian civilian nuclear energy research program is much more primitive today than what Iraq had in 1991. And in retrospect, some analysts think Iraq's program hadn't actually had much success by then. But even that comment is misleading because we don't even know that Iran has a weapons research program. It hasn't been proved, there isn't any solid evidence, and the Supreme Jurisprudent has given a fatwa against having or using nuclear weapons as illicit in Islamic law. Now, you can't acknowledge that Iran is a dictatorial theocracy and then turn around and say that this fatwa is irrelevant. For those of you who don't know what a fatwa is, it's like an order. It's like something written in the Bible, a commandment. Juan Cole continues, the people who assert with such confidence that Iran has a nuclear weapons program are the same ones who insisted that North Korea had a uranium enrichment program, which now turns out to be unlikely. And there was that little mistake about Iraq's program. The other issue is that the Nuclear Nonproliferation Treaty permits states to have civilian nuclear research programs, and the current Bush administration, UN Security Council threats of economic boycott are in essence an ex post facto to repeal to those provisions of the treaty and imposes on signatory states new limitations that they never agreed to. But that's no surprise, because they change the rules as they go along. Now, you know, I have long since given up trying to figure out what the real idea is behind all this messing around in the Middle East. Do they want to just steal the oil? Because if they did, they went about it the wrong way. Is part of it to take that oil off the market so that their oil is more valuable? That could be it. I'll guarantee you this, they certainly do not mean what they say when they talk about bringing freedom and democracy to the Middle East. They don't even want freedom and democracy here at home, ladies and gentlemen. That's an obvious, outright lie. And now we're going to bomb Iran. We're going to do it. And I don't know how we can stop them. How do you stop a president who just says he could ignore the law? The only way to stop him is to physically stop him. Is to physically just say no. The military people say no, we're not going to do it. And ladies and gentlemen, if it does happen, I mean, America's already pretty much destroyed itself as a supreme power, because America's power was not built on its military. America's real power was built on its moral standing in the world. The fact that after World War II we treated Japan and Germany with respect and dignity and we allowed them to rebuild their countries to the point where they became as big or not bigger economies than ours in their own way. The fact that they knew that when we negotiated, helped them negotiate, we were doing so in good faith. All that's gone away. Bill Clinton, before he was while he was running for office, before he was elected president in 1992, was talking about, you know, what the Republicans are trying to do to the government. He said, look, any idiot can kick down a house, can destroy a house, but it takes something special to put one together. We've only got one more segment left here. If you want to get in, it's your last chance to get in. 1-877-443-2366, 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. I'm going to talk more about this, perhaps, or whatever else I feel like talking about. There's that whole situation at Walter Reed. I think I'm going to talk about that for a little while. But in the meantime, I'm just waiting for the music to come on here so I can sign off for the break. There we go. You know, maybe I don't hear the volume of it when it's really, really low sometimes. I think that's the problem there. We'll be back with more on the Cup of Joe Radio Show here on the Head On Radio Network.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competency and training. UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. It's their job to provide manpower. They build partnerships based on respect and trust. They provide skilled, responsible millwrights and carpenters to meet the challenge of any project because they believe and what they're doing and are so very committed to getting each and every job done right. They include a clause in your contract that eliminates work slowdown and jurisdictional disputes because they believe that, as professionals, they can discuss and solve any problem while keeping your project on target on time. We'd like to take this opportunity to thank the men and women of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights for building the American dream and saving the American dream. Thank you.
It must have been prayer meeting with Reverend Brother Bob.
See, hey, Peter, welcome to the program.
You absolutely know that you cannot mention Robertson without conjuring me. This is a known fact.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Right. Well, sometimes I do it on purpose.
You know, the thing that kills me, you know, God just continues to punk Robertson. After time, after time, and it goes back for years, you know. Let's just talk a bit about his business venture. From 91 to 94, he was involved in something called Calo Vita, and it was a multi-level marketing company that breeds that pyramid scheme.
Yeah, like Amway.
Sold beauty products and healthcare products. Oh, they had a product called Sea of Galilee Mud Mask.
No, they did not.
Oh, yes, thank you.
You no.
Bob, as a heart attack, I'm serious.
Sea of Galilee Mud Mask?
Oh, yes, it was part of the product line.
Prayer meeting edition of Head On with Bob Kincaid, Wednesday nights, 6 to 9 p.m. here on the Head On Radio Network.
Here's a little test for you. Identify the following water-saving devices around your home. Using water wisely is important since our growing population puts pressure on this limited resource. Ready? That's water-saving device number 19, your outdoor faucet. Check faucets, sprinklers, and hoses for drips or leaks to save water and money. That's your toothbrush, water-saving device number 54. Turn the faucet off while you brush and save up to 25 gallons a month. It's water-saving device number 11, your water bill. If it's unusually high, you could have a leak. Learn to detect and repair leaks by contacting your water provider. Last clue? That's BeWaterSmart.net, a helpful website full of water-saving tips from the Water Conservation Coalition and your local water provider. There are a number of ways to save water, and they all start with you. Water, use it wisely.
This is the Head On Radio Network.
Okay, and we're back here on the Cup of Joe Radio Show for the final 10 minutes or so. And if you want to get in, the number is 1-877-443-2366, 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. You only got a few minutes if you want to get in a phone call here, if there's anything you want to talk about. Because I'm on remote control right now. I'm just kind of talking about things going on. And there's a lot of things going on. The thing about Walter Reed is another example. About the Walter Reed Hospital is just yet another example, ladies and gentlemen, about how some people are simply not human to the Bush administration, and our soldiers in particular are not human. Because, you know, quite frankly, never mind all the stupid platitudes that they give, never mind the photo ops that they have with the soldiers. Ladies and gentlemen, the Republican Party hates the American soldier. The Republican Party hates soldiers. The leadership, and certainly the Bush administration, they put them in harm's way. They don't give them the gear, training to do their job properly. They blame them when things go wrong, and especially when things go wrong as a result of their idiocy, incompetence, criminality. And when they get wounded, they treat them like crap. This whole thing about the Walter Reed, what makes it even worse, and I remember just listening to it on QNN before I started today, was just enough to make my blood boil. Rat-infested, moldy places that we're sending our soldiers to. Because all the money, with as much money that goes into the defense budget, ladies and gentlemen, with as much money as we spend on the military, and keep in mind, we spend more on our military than practically every nation in the world combined. There's the United States and then there's everybody else, and we spend more or just about the same as everybody else combined, and that's outrageous. And why does none of that money get down to protecting the most important resource that we have, which is our soldiers? Because they don't care about our soldiers. All that money is going into toys for generals and big old defense projects that sometimes go nowhere. And defense contractors who have close ties with people in the Republican administration, like Halliburton. They hate you, ladies and gentlemen, and they'd sooner see you dead once your usefulness is gone. All you are is useful to them. They take advantage of your loyalty. They take advantage of your sense of patriotism, of your sense of duty. They take advantage of your work ethic. And when your time comes, they will spit you out and throw you away. Because that's all they do, is they chew you up and they spit you out. Unless you want to become like them. And people talk about, well, you know, Bush is really smarter than he appears. You know something, ladies and gentlemen? They're not that smart. And you don't have to be that smart to be successful. All you have to be is ruthless. All you have to do is completely absolve yourself, remove yourself from any sense of conscience or morality or concern about your fellow human being, about the society you live in, about the planet you live on. Have a lack of concern about any extra-earthly punishment, if such a thing exists. Because you've got to look at it and say, the things that these people are doing, if the God that they talk about really does exist, that there is a judgment, and they get judged for their crimes, where do you think these people are going? So either they don't believe in an afterlife, or they seriously and honestly believe that they're doing the right thing in the long run. And quite frankly, I don't know which is worse, because the latter means they're completely insane, and the former means that they're just in it for themselves and there's no boundary that they won't cross to get what they want. It can really go either way, too. And as soon as you realize that, ladies and gentlemen, as soon as you realize that to these people you are nothing but human, then everything that they do falls into place. Because once you realize that they don't give a damn, then you can see why they do the things that they do. It's a very, very important distinction, ladies and gentlemen, and I am here to remind you of it. Even though you may have thought about it in your back of your head. You know, and I hear all these things, people talking about, you know, whether or not the there were bombs in the World Trade Center, that the fuel couldn't melt the iron that caused it to fall, and the Building 7 and all this and all that. Yeah, I hear it all. And I'm like, look, get the SOBs out of office first, and we'll figure it all out later on. Because quite frankly, everything they've done since that day is more than enough to get their asses thrown in jail, which is where they belong. It's more than enough to have another Nuremberg-style trial. And along with them, there ought to be members of the propaganda machine that's been built up. Guys like Rush and Hannity and Bortz, they ought to go on trial too, as far as I'm concerned, for helping to spread the propaganda. And I hope it never comes down to that, but of course I want to see these people punished for their crimes, but as with everything else, they believe that they are above the law, that they are the law. That's what they believe. And that you are not human. Now, I scare you with that. Maybe you think I'm not serious, but I'm not kidding. I'm saying it because I believe it. Am I wrong? I could be. Maybe. Look at what's going on, and you tell me. Ladies and gentlemen, you don't have to believe me. You don't have to make me your fountain of truth. You can do these things for yourself, and I'm not telling you anything you can't already find out and don't already know. I am here to remind you of this stuff because it's already out there. Some of you refuse to believe it. Some of you don't want to believe it. Some of you are afraid to believe it. And if you're a Republican, there's really only three types of you. There's people who are in on the scam. There are people who want to be in on the scam. And there are people who don't know they're being scammed. And how you will be treated depends in great part on where you fall in that category. I cannot help it if you're willfully ignorant, and there's nothing I can do to help you if you won't take a look at the situation and see it for what it is and refuse to take any steps. If you believe in all that rugged individualism crap while you're getting ripped off. During the revolution, I forget which founding father said, he said, gentlemen, we must all hang together or we will all hang separately. And that's the way it is with us working people. And not just for us. We have to do it not just for the American worker, but for workers all over the world, ladies and gentlemen. Because people all over the world are no different than you and me in the sense that all they want is to make a better life for themselves and for their family for the future. They want to do their jobs, save up money, and leave something better for their children. We have to have something else. Throughout history, we've tried war. War doesn't work. Let's try something else. We've got about 3 minutes left here. Let me start saying my thank yous. I want to thank, first of all, Agnes Kincaid and Zach for producing the show. Agnes produced it for the first half. Zach produced it for the second half. I want to thank Ben Birch of the White Rose Society. That's whiterosesociety.org for hosting my archives. And you can go there. Just click on the Cup of Joe link, and you can download or listen to any of my shows going back to when I was pre-recorded, going back a few years. Of course, I want to thank Bob Kincaid and everybody else involved with the Head On Radio Network. And we have a wonderful lineup here. Maybe not lovable. None of us are really lovable. Maybe Mark Levine is lovable. I've heard some things. But we have a very good lineup. After me, of course, is the Jeff Allen Wolf Show with the Wolf Pack. You got him for 3 hours from 11 to 2. And these are Eastern Standard Time times. If you're in the West Coast, just subtract 3 hours. You've got Mark Levine from 2 to 3, Dr. Bill O'Brien from 3 to 5, Foxed Up with John Fox from Australia from 5 to 6, one of the wonderful things about the internets. And we finish, of course, with 3 hours of Head On with Bob Kincaid, who is the main man here at the Head On Radio Network. And, of course, we're always looking for new hosts and working to improve our schedule and to do better things, because as good as we are, there's always room for improvement. There is always room for improvement. I'm pissed off. And I'm just so pissed off that I'm speechless. Just all the things that go on. And what pisses me off most is just a feeling of powerlessness. What do they call that? The Cassandra system? For those of you who don't know, Cassandra was a Trojan princess whom Apollo was in love with, and he told her that he would give her any wish, and she wished she would know the future. Now, Apollo had the power to grant the wish, but he knew that such power was not right for mortals, so he gave her it, but with the provision that nobody would believe her. Oh, we got the music going. Okay, the music's cutting in. All right, we'll be back tomorrow with Carol Kay from MakeThemAccountable.com and MakeThemAccountable.com. And in the meanwhile, hey, get back to work.
To the Horn, the Head-On Radio Network. You're listening to the Venture 3 Radio Network.
"9/11 bombshell, the cover-up is unraveling. CNN and BBC 24 news reports conclusively prove that the media had prior knowledge and false start scripting of Building 7 controlled demolition. U.S. reporter urges more aggressive media. Edwards apologizes for 2002 war vote. RFK Jr. rips President Bush for environmental policy. Scholars criticize new Jesus documentary. Baker and Christopher to head war power panel. Democratic leaders revamp anti-war plan. CIA says bin Laden in Pakistan establishing new camps. Give me a break. CIA leak jurors note to be released. February 5th, national primary to include 20 states. Group calls Gore a hypocrite over power bill. Climate panel recommends global temperature ceiling and carbon tax. A new bill would mandate a nicer term for the word illegals. And Prince Charles says, ban the Big Mac. Hell, as long as they don't ban this show, I'm fine with that. These are the issues ahead on the Jeff Allen Wolf Show, starting now.